Welcome to a special bonus edition of the United Soccer Coaches Podcast, dedicated to a collaborative partnership with the newly formed Intercollegiate Women's Soccer Organization for Coaches, or IWSOC. You can learn more by going to IWSOC.org. Before we hear from three of the IWSOC founders, coaching legends Lori Walker-Hawk from Ohio State, Tom Stone from Texas Tech, and the recently retired top man from Texas A&M, G. Guerrieri, we will visit with United Soccer Coaches President Paul Payne to discuss why this partnership works and how working together makes both organizations stronger. Before we do that, it's fair to say that this push is part of a response to the recent release of U.S. Soccer's Next Gen white paper that focuses heavily on college soccer. To begin, I will read the response to the white paper from the United Soccer Coaches President Paul Payne, and it reads like this, quote, "Today's college soccer landscape is changing, and we, the United Soccer Coaches, are committed to continuing to serve college coach members and their programs during these evolving times. U.S. Soccer has recently shared their Next Gen white paper on college soccer, which offers some insightful suggestions on how to better the college game for players and coaches. As the, quote, home of all coaches, end quote, we support the efforts of college soccer coaching leaders as they determine how best to form an optimal path for the game and its players, coaches, and respective institutions. While there may be different views on how best to achieve this goal, it will be a collaborative effort by all interested parties to do what is best for the sport. We understand and respect the various positions that have been offered and will continue to represent and support our college-affiliated coach members and their programs," end quote, end statement. That statement says a lot, Paul Payne, but for me, the biggest takeaway is United Soccer Coaches, as the home of all coaches, continues to be a unifier for all levels of the game. Welcome, Paul.
Thank you, Dean. I think perhaps the best example of the unifier of the game of all coaches, all levels, from the youth, the rec youth, to the high school, to the college, the professional, is what you're going to see in January at our national convention in Philadelphia. 85th year as an organization, we're proud of that. The 50th year will be in Philadelphia, proud of that. And we're also proud of our members, the coaches. In this case, we are supporting coaches who have been challenged because the game has been challenged and the college game has been challenged. And I think with support of all of us, and in the statement you said that it's a collaborative effort, we'll get there. The game gets better. And in our role as the home of all coaches, we want to make the game better for the players and the coaches. And that's what we hopefully have done by supporting what the role that the women have taken in trying to better the game for themselves and the players. The United Soccer Coaches, formerly the NSCAA, has been around for a long time, and we have never stopped caring and wanting to educate coaches at all levels of the game. That includes college coaches, where I spent 29 years as a college head coach. We are proud to partner with the IWSOC and continue to support college soccer in every way, especially with rankings and awards, but also with legislation when needed. Because of that, I am happy the United Soccer Coaches is giving the IWSOC free airtime to promote their message. And I believe women's college coaches will like what they hear from three legends of the game in Lori Walker-Hawk, Tom Stone, and G. Guerrieri.
Paul Payne sets the table for G, Lori, and Tom, and we do that right now.
The Intercollegiate Women's Soccer Organization for Coaches has a focus that together we lead the future of women's college soccer. For more than five decades, women's college soccer has served as the global leader in developing the world's top female under 23 players. This unique platform blends athletic excellence with academic opportunity, something no other league in the world can replicate. Through the university system and the foundation power of Title IX, more than 30,000 female student athletes and 3,000 coaches each year are provided a critical pathway to succeed. Women's college soccer has produced more than 90% of the U.S. women's national team players and remains the primary talent pipeline to the National Women's Soccer League, where nearly every roster features NCAA alumni. The integration of education and athletics not only fuels the next generation of elite players, but also shapes future female leaders who go on to impact sport, business, education, and society at every level. So, who is the IWSOC? founded in 2025 by college coaches for college coaches, the nonprofit IWSOC is the official voice for women's college soccer coaches in the United States. Our ambition is to provide formalized leadership with structural support to maintain autonomy of the top under 23 women's soccer league in the world. We value our ongoing collaboration with the United Soccer Coaches, who remain vital partners in education, awards, and the annual national convention. Together, we honor tradition while forging a new future. What will the IWSOC do? We represent the game and the collective voice of student athletes and women's college soccer coaches. We protect the autonomy of women's college soccer. We build partnerships that expand exposure, resources, and opportunities. We strengthen our sport for the next generation of athletes and coaches. Leading the charge out of the gate for the IWSOC are four of the most prominent women's college soccer coaches, all serving as co-founders. One of the founders is United Soccer Coaches Honor Award winner Janet Rayfield. The other three founders are featured on today's show. They are 29-year head coach of the Ohio State Buckeyes, Lori Walker Hawk, 33-year head coach of Texas A&M, G. Guerreri, and 18-year head coach of Texas Tech, Tom Stone, who has also coached at the pro level. Combined, these four coaches have nearly 1,400 total wins. Today, Lori, G, and Tom join longtime college soccer broadcaster and voice of United Soccer Coaches Dean Linke to break down the exciting launch of the Intercollegiate Women's Soccer Organization for Coaches. So with that, here's Dean.
I am Dean Linke, and honored to play a small role in bringing you this special podcast, and honored to be joined by the three founders we just talked about. I love saying the name Lori Walker Hawk. Hello, Lori.
Dino, great to see you.
A man who has always supported the United Soccer Coaches podcast, G. Guerreri. Hello, G.
Howdy, Dean. It's great to see you.
And the man I called my first ever game with back in 1996, Tom Stone. Great to see you, Tom.
Great to be a part of this. Good to see you, Dino.
All right, G, let's have you have the opening comment as we talk about the state of women's college soccer in 2025. You have the floor, my man.
Number one, the women's college game is in pretty darn good shape right now. We are getting bigger crowds than we've ever gotten in the past. We're still driving players through the college landscape into the pros and into our national teams. For example, you look at the gold medal winning United States Olympic team on the women's side from Paris. Of those 22 players, 19 of them came through the college system. And so for us, a big part of what we've got to do and what we have kind of set as our mission is we want to make sure that women's college soccer has a voice. And there's more and more people coming in, for example, from U.S. soccer and from different ancillary groups around the country talking about college soccer. And sometimes that is confusing to people because there's men's college soccer and there's women's college soccer, and they're different sports. What we have done with the IWSOC is create a vehicle for the women's game to have a voice, not just with the public, but also with the NCAA, with FIFA, with U.S. soccer, and with the pro leagues and the youth leagues coming in. So we've been doing a lot of this through United Soccer Coaches, and we are strong partners with United Soccer Coaches. This is not a revolution by any stretch of the imagination. What this is basically just putting a strong megaphone in front of the women so that the women can speak for themselves as members of United Soccer Coaches, but especially as this new IWSOC, to make sure that the game continues to move forward to benefit the players that are coming through the platform, but also that the voices of the coaches are heard, the people who are in the game 24/7 throughout the year, living it, sacrificing, doing the things that are necessary to make the game better. Those are the people that we think should be have a strong voice in what the future of the game is going to be. So this organization is about empowering those coaches, building strong leaders, getting the assistant coaches, the associate head coaches, the young coaches, the players that are moving into coaching, bringing them forward as leaders who are doing such a wonderful job on the women's side. Now, these are female coaches and male coaches, but their mission is the same. They're trying to make the women's college game the strongest that it can possibly be. So we've been talking about this for quite a while, and I'll let Lori go into that a little bit. but we've been having discussions about this for more than 20 years. It didn't really come around until COVID that we finally kind of, under then Trish Hughes, who was the head of college services for United Soccer Coaches, was the one who really kind of pointed to the fact, because she was representing the men and the women, of saying, gosh, you guys are actually two sports. You're two different sports. You know, you use the same ball, you use the same field and nets, but the men are trying to do so many things and the women are trying to do so many things which don't necessarily go hand in hand with each other. And the NCAA and different groups were kind of using that against us and keeping us stuck in neutral. And so Sasho and Carlos, the leaders on the men's side, as well as us, were going, gosh, you're absolutely right. We need to find a way to separate so that our voices can be heard. So this is the women's response to that, which has been going on, like I said, for decades. But finally now the initiative, the inertia is so strong within our coaches group across the country that the timing was right.
To build on some of that history, we started to do a deep dive into what organizations were out there representing other women's sports. And it was really fascinating to take a look, you know, in United Soccer Coaches, originally the NSCAA, right? The organization we've all been a part of for so long, which started back in the 50s. We recognize that women's basketball, women's volleyball, women's lacrosse, and women's softball had all started their own organizations at the collegiate level back in the 80s. So while we were a part of United Soccer Coaches, which is just this massive entity, that voice to speak on behalf of women's college soccer in a legislative capacity really didn't have the strength that it needed. And so as we look back, and we've even had conversations with a lot of the leaders in each of those groups, they've been wonderful in supporting us and helping us to understand what it takes to have an organization for coaches at the women's collegiate level. What we've decided is that we've got basically three pillars that we really want to look at. One, it's that organized leadership voice. Two, it's influencing legislation. And then three, which for each of us is maybe the most exciting part, is how are we going to grow our game and what are the strategic partnerships that we can create? And specifically in that area, we really want to emphasize some non-conference crossover tournaments and occupy some space in the television industry where there are no games. And at one point, Dino, we were joking that in August, when our season will begin in 2026 with our new expanded season model, there were goat races on ESPN. And I'm not sure what's going on with you, buddy, but I don't know why you weren't heading that up and you were the commentator and the play-by-play for the goat races, but you need to talk to your people. There's a space there that we need to occupy. I think that we can do that in women's soccer, just like women's volleyball has done with some of their preseason and their non-conference events, highlighting the best teams in the conference and building that joy and excitement for the direction that college soccer is going to take before football starts, before volleyball starts on all our college campuses. And then ultimately that will lead into how can we grow our college cup, the Women's College Cup. G has this wonderful vision for what the College Cup could be. We've named it the College Cup Extravaganza. We'll dig into that a little bit more, but just how can we grow the women's game specifically? And we are unique. We are the only under 23 league in the world that combines academics and athletics. The foundation and the principles of Title IX have expedited our women's national team to the forefront. And we want to make sure that we maintain that and keep the autonomy of what we believe is the best under 23 league in the country and in the world.
Tom, before you answer, you've done it all. You've coached professionally, you coached with Youth World Cup team, and you found great joy in college soccer. So as you think about that from everywhere you've been and you think about the state of college soccer, what's your opening salvo?
Well, I think these guys have really covered it a lot with regards to the history and the why. The big move here is that we need to have people, sharp people that are leaders in our coaching community, younger, older, associate head coaches, assistant coaches, head coaches that have the experience, to have a one-stop shop where all these things are funneled through. Do we need to have a great relationship with U.S. soccer? We do. As my time in U.S. soccer and at the U20 level, when 1 minute you didn't know who Alex Morgan was, the next minute she won the best player in the world that year for 20-year-olds. Same with Sydney LaRue. In a matter of 2 weeks, these two players emerged on the world scene. This is because college soccer has played a role that none of the other countries in the entire world have at their disposal. While Japan and China and Germany and Sweden and all of our big rivals are developing a pool of 30 to 50 players with every amount of resource that they can, we're developing a pool of 1,000 players, thousands of players. And when you look back at the number of players that have taken all 4 years to emerge onto the scene, Germany's already lost that player. She wasn't identified at 15 and 16, or she wasn't good enough at 15 or 16. But you come into the college environment with all of the resources, which in many cases are more far-reaching than some of the NWSL teams. Now, some NWSL teams are like MLS in the NFL now. I mean, they're throwing everything at their player. But across the board, our pro league is still getting to that place, and there's only so many teams. I always tell our players, look, if you want to play in the league, imagine a jar of marbles. Nobody wants to get out of that jar, and you're trying to shove another marble into that jar. It's tough to get into our pro league. Hence, women's college soccer is that developmental model that the rest of the world is so jealous of, because we keep all those players engaged. And so on the one hand, you have a Trinity Rodman who was ready the day she left Washington State after like 3 months training with a college team. And on the other hand, you have these players that if it wasn't for college soccer, for Alex, for Sydney, for some of these others that I was exposed to, it was an integral part of the reason they became some of the best players in the world. So that relationship has to be refined. It has to evolve. It's got to continue. It's got to be strong. Our influence with the NCAA, our relationship with them, has to be streamlined. It has to be faster. The NCAA has its own set of circumstances, of legislation processes that we have to go through. But sometimes college soccer's have a hard time getting ourselves under one roof to decide how we want to present. It took us 8 years to get the first dead period passed. I feel like with this organization and a full-time leader and other part-time or full-time people involved, we could move quickly in areas that we feel are important. I just use that as one example because it was, I think we were the only sport lawyer without a dead period. So you had college soccer coaches working 365 days a year or else you would lose a player. So we feel like with the NCAA, we can streamline our communication, streamline that process. And it's the same thing with the NWSL. What does our relationship need to look like with them? How do we jointly get their feedback and give them our feedback so that we can be a more integral part of their growth and that they don't miss on people as we go through this process? So it's time. It's about time is a good way of looking at it. And I'll also add this. As we've had, led by G and Lori, a lot of meetings with what we would consider 20 influential college coaches, and then another 20 influential college coaches group, and then another. And of course, we haven't reached everyone yet. Every single time we get off the call, one of us is like, oh my gosh, how sharp is Coach so-and-so? How sharp is Coach so-and-so? And we're not tapping into that coach. You know, we have former NWSL players coaching in college soccer now. We need to tap into that knowledge. We need to tap into their experience. And is it a surprise that Damon is super sharp and very intelligent and extremely articulate? No, it's not a surprise, but we need to hear more from him. And some other coaches have just jumped off the page in these meetings with tremendous insights. And this is going to bring all of us together and hopefully have a really powerful, strong voice as we move forward. I don't think anybody's touched on the donors and the sponsors yet. The ideas that Higginbotham's group has about creating this preseason tournament that's going to be national news and covered by big-time sports channels, ESPN, Fox, whoever it may be, something we've never even talked about really at length before, at least to my knowledge, you know, that's about to hit the landscape. That's very difficult to pull off, Dean, without the right people pushing this, without a full-time person in charge of this idea, and just getting everyone excited. I think a lot of our coaches don't feel like they're heard, and now they will be heard, and a good idea can be put forward and put in the pipeline much quicker. I think that's part of what I'm excited about. You know, I feel for Karen Hoppe, who just toiled away and tried to get all these things passed. And now, you know, these guys put out a survey not too long ago that the response was so fast and so swift that we were able to put data in front of other committees that are looking at how they can work with us, data in front of the NCAA, data in front of U.S. soccer. These are the things we're getting behind. And we are moving in mass. This last thing I'll say, a lot of our surveys are telling us up to 80% of our membership of coaches believe strongly in issues A, B, C, and D. Well, let's get those on the table, because if it's that much support, we can move the needle quickly. And that's what needs to happen here.
It's the Intercollegiate Women's Soccer Organization for Coaches. We're here with three of the founders, G. Guerrieri, Lori Walker-Hawk, and Tom Stone. We've covered a lot, breaking down, even looking back at the history as Lori Walker-Hawk decided this was necessary almost 25 years past the point of some other sports doing it. Great job breaking down the mission and pillars, leadership, legislation, and strategic growth. We've got a lot more to handle. Look, Tom just talked about membership. Lori, who's included?
Initially, we're going to take on Division One, and our goal is over the next several years to roll everybody in Division Two, Division Three, NAIA, and then JUCO as well. And G has been representing that group as our college services representative. And so he's been able to establish some great relationships with those groups. And ultimately, we want to build from the Division One level and then start to include everyone.
I think a big part of what we are very conscious of is that the Power Four schools, of course, are some of the biggest brands. But college soccer, specifically women's college soccer, it has those brands. But so much about what our game is about the others and about what these other schools are doing in their communities, what they're doing for the game, what they're doing for these young women. And so starting with, you know, only 350 Division I teams is actually a pretty big bite to go with. And again, you know, Tom played for Duke, Lori played for North Carolina, big brand. I came from a smaller brand, I came from the University of Tulsa. And the idea of, you know, these little guys are having a big effect on future coaches, on future parts of the, all the different parts of our world. So we want to make sure that we're looking after everybody. And then as we go forward, then expanding that, because in my role as the Director of College Services for United Soccer Coaches, a big part of what I was trying to do was just kind of listen to what is Division II trying to do. Division II are working their tail off right now trying to get just 4 extra days in their preseason to try to take a little bit of the heat off of these players at the start of their preseason. That's where a lot of your injuries come from, just for the benefit of the health and welfare of players. Well, Division III has similar situations. Division III only has 20 days of training and only one game allowed in their non-championship spring season. You can say you want to have an academic focus, but that can be expanded quite a bit. And so the best way to get things done in Division II is to use the models that we've used in Division I, and the same thing for Division III, to show that, hey, we are an academic model, but we are so much more than that. We're about building leaders and about building champions that are going to help down the line in not just soccer, but, you know, the rest of the world. You look at the surgeons, you look at the lawyers, you look at the business leaders who are women who played collegiate sports and specifically soccer. It's an amazing, amazing number. And that's a big part of what we're trying to do. So starting with Division I, all of Division I, and then as we get our feet under us, as we gain more staff, as we do things along those lines and have the ability to do things, we don't want to make promises that we can't keep. And so that's why keeping it narrow to start with and then building off of it and working hand in hand with United Soccer Coaches all the way. United Soccer Coaches has always done such a great job with their rankings. They've done such a great job with the education part of it, just what it means to be a coach and how to coach, and now even all the analytics, all the other things that go along with it. So we want to continue to work with United Soccer Coaches on all of those, remain members of United Soccer Coaches. But this is specifically with the focus, because United Soccer Coaches goes from mom and pop coaches through high school, through all college coaches, through pro, national teams. I mean, it's such a big umbrella. We're just trying to pinpoint specifically on one of the greatest success stories in American sports is women's soccer. What have the women done on the world stage, and where did those women come through? And they came through colleges and universities. So there's so much more, especially with some of the big brands that we have involved on the college landscape. You know, basically everybody except for Georgia Tech in the Power Four has a women's soccer program. So all of those big brands are involved in our game. So let's heighten that. Let's bring those resources together and really make it better for the players, for the supporters, and for the universities.
And I look forward to helping IWSOC become a big brand, because it's there for the right reasons. We've talked about the pillars, leadership, legislation, and strategic growth. One of the things I also like is I feel like the best organizations are ones that are also capable of using their past. They stay in the present and they look to the future. I heard one of you already talk about getting associate head coaches and assistant coaches involved. So all three of those layers are important to what you guys are building.
Absolutely. And knowing the lines of succession, and that, you know, what we're trying to do, it's like, if not us, who? trying to lay the seeds for something that can be really, really great down the line. You know, we want that oak tree, which is women's college soccer, to be so strong on the college landscape. You got to start somewhere. United Soccer Coaches has brought us here, and now it's our responsibility to leave it in a much better place than it's been.
I would also add that part of our objective and our goal is to have a space for our retired coaches. And, you know, we've already mentioned Karen Huppa. We're going to bring her into this fold. You know, Janet Rayfield is sort of our oracle, if you will, you know, and our advisor, and helping us to, you know, build a sustainable organization. Robbie Church is out there already trying to be retired, but also we're dragging them back in. One of the things that we learned along the way is that traditionally, women's college soccer coaches do not go into administration for whatever reason. That is a pathway that has been true for softball coaches, for women's basketball coaches over the years. And so as they have gone into administration, their influence and their ability to sit on committees and grow their sport and help their sport along the way, we as soccer people have basically sat at the little kid's table. And so we haven't had that kind of voice. And so our ability to keep our retired coaches with all of their knowledge, their experience involved, and to help give us direction to, again, make a sustainable organization for the future is a really important part of this. And, you know, I mentioned some of the history and, you know, Janet in 1981, Janet was part of the last AIAW Women's Championship at the University of North Carolina. She was the captain of that team. That's when all these organizations were starting. And so we are a little bit behind in our infancy, but we are very powerful in what we represent and the brand that we have. I don't know that there is any other women's sport that has as many recognizable faces as women's soccer does in this country.
I'd just like to make it clear as well that although, you know, in this kind of opening podcast and we're getting this information out, and Dean, we really appreciate your influence there. You've been doing your yeoman's work for so many years and have been an incredible ambassador for the media side, the television side, telling stories, covering games, is that although G and Lori deserve so much credit and Janet behind the scenes putting in so much work to get this off the ground, it has been an agreement from the three of us and Janet and others from the day one that this is then to be handed off in short work, other than the full-time people, to the next group of inspired, passionate. I think in some cases I'm here because I'm so impatient. Like, I can't believe how long it takes us to get stuff done. There's got to be more of us out there. We know there are more of us out there. And so this isn't a, well, you'll be hearing from us in 10 years. What I hope you're hearing us doing in 10 years is cheering on the next group of leaders, because 2 or 3 years to give what we can, to put in our expertise, to get this off the ground, and then celebrate really what G and Lori have pushed through and introduce the next set of leadership that would be on this podcast about what are we doing 5 years from now? What are the next things in the pipeline? We're really committed to that. This is not something that we want to hold on to for some sort of power seat. We want to launch it and to then see the next group come through in a short period of time, more than a long period of time, to take the reins. And I think that gives this power. I think that keeps us from being a political entity. We're not looking to do people favors. We're looking to move it forward, powerfully move it forward. And fresh ideas and fresh voices, I think, keep that happening. You know, if we could move people on quicker in other political environments, I think we would see the same agent for change that we're looking for here. And we're committed to that.
I would add to that, you know, that G and I started really working together right around that COVID time, right? I think it was, G, when we were trying to solve some of the difficulties and the problems and looking at our game. And a lot of discussion started happening out of the return to play protocol that was being pushed on all of us and how long it was going to take to re-engage. And, you know, there's a group of us that just sort of joked, isn't this the way a real preseason model should go? If you really look back on it, I mean, we've been working at this for 10, 15 years. And so this is not something that we see us being the leaders of for the next 10 years, to Tom's point. I think it's an important organization to create so that we can give and pass along the information that we've learned navigating NCAA legislation, navigating the committees, and how to help take what is an idea that just makes logical sense to us as coaches and to our student athletes and put it forward you know, past the medical people and past the administrators and do what's right for our sport. So we've been working at that for, you know, 15 years. We're super excited. There's a piece of legislation that starts next year that really was maybe our baby, if you will. 2462 is the name of the legislation. It was a proposal that we worked on for many years and a collaborative piece with lots of coaches that happened, you know, starting really during that COVID time, that we were trying to add and extend our season, try and break up the density to our games. And that is going to happen next year, starting in 2026. So we are super excited about that. And it was a piece of legislation that we were able to get through the NCAA systems when nothing else was happening. There was basically a moratorium on legislation, and women's soccer, women's college soccer, was one of the very few pieces of legislation that passed. Again, we're very excited by that. It is our own extended season model and our modernization, if you will, of college women's soccer. It was really an honor to work, you know, with G hand in hand, and as Tom mentioned, a variety of other coaches in committee work to make that piece happen.
You weren't going to get that through with just a coaches group pushing it. That needed extra oomph from some heavy hitters within the NCAA. And so obviously it helped that I've got the ear of the SEC. Lori has the ear of the Big Ten. Tom with the Big 12. And at the time, Tim Santoro did a lot with helping out with the NCAA committee and the ACC. So all of us together, and really in the end, that piece of legislation was pushed over the finish line by Greg Sankey and at the SEC. And if it wasn't for a big, powerful voice like that, it probably is still languishing. And the men have experienced some of this on their own side of things, doing things that they've been trying to do. So that was some of the things that we've used as ammunition to say, okay, we can't just be a group of coaches. We have to be the coaches' voice and the group for it. So the NCAA now is changing. They're evolving in the way that they are taking legislation and the way that they're looking at sports. And these conversations started back in 2020 with the idea that football and basketball have always had their own sport oversight committee. And things move really quickly. Those committees would meet every month. That's why you'd always see rules changes, big rules changes coming all the time in college football and college basketball especially. All the other sports were kind of lumped into one committee, and it took ages to get something. It was glacial pace to get something through. Now, the new order of the NCAA is creating these specific sport oversight committees for every sport. And this is one of the things that Trish Hughes identified, and Sasha and Carlos were saying on the men's side, and we were saying, they were like, wow, we really do need to separate, and we need to make sure that we get a coach's voice onto that oversight committee, because that's the group that's going to be making the changes. That's the group that really would take things forward from us. So I just got word last week that I am on the new women's soccer oversight committee, and our first meeting will be coming up at the end of this month. And a big part of what that discussion is going to be about what U.S. Soccer is putting forth in this white page that they're doing, that their next gen committee created, to talk about recommendations that they have for, quote, college soccer. And when they talk about college soccer, they're talking about men and women. And we've been saying for a long time, you can't do the same thing for both the men and the women. You have to have something specific to the men that will really push them forward, and you've got to have something specific for the women that's going to do similar for them. It might not be the same thing. I guess there's a shortage of paper, so they want to just do one all-encompassing, and we'll be discussing that in both the men's oversight committee as well as the women's oversight committee.
Fantastic, as we're learning so much about the Intercollegiate Women's Soccer Organization for coaches, including the fact that you continue to be unified with United Soccer Coaches. G just talked about his impact now with the NCAA. There's another organization out there that G just touched on. So it's the perfect segue for what might be the last part that we cover here, as we'll have more time with the Intercollegiate Women's Soccer Organization for Coaches, as we hope to do this, you know, every 3 months or so. But that is U.S. Soccer and the Next Generation Committee and the, quote, white paper. You have the floor.
This Next Gen Committee is full of a bunch of really sharp people and people who really want what's best for the college game and all the different facets that we support and that support us. The downside, without having any of us on there on the front end, was the education that that group really was, I think, interested in, but certainly needed to hear about the history and about our desires as a women's college program and how dramatically different we move than the men's programs, that we promote players to the pros, or that we promote players to the national team, or that we have set ourselves up as a player development model also, which of course always needs help. And this thing that we pushed through, which by the way, in some ways is a miracle that these guys got this pushed through, allows us more time in the fall, which the medical community jumped on board and said, amen, let's do that. It allows us more single games, which allows the level to be higher, more recovery time before the next game. It pushes us into a place where we've always wanted to maintain that our season was fall oriented. And that if we start a little sooner and we push our finals back, we've kind of maximized the calendar and doing what's best for college women's soccer. Well, on the other side, the men want to play year round. They think that's going to help their sport. They think that's going to help their brand, their image, whatever. And we've consistently said we 100% support their pursuit of that end, but it is not on the table for the women's game. And when we polled players and coaches, it wasn't even close. It wasn't even close in terms of the surveys pointing out that what the women want, they like the developmental aspect of the spring season, that we get to play and train, and we get to unlimited subs in all the games. The players that don't play as much in the fall get an enormous opportunity in the spring because the games don't determine our jobs. They don't determine finishes. They don't hand out trophies. The spring is a developmental tool for us, and we're big believers in that. The fact that we're now getting our message through and the next gen committee is like, okay, we get it. We do need to go in two different directions. We do need to support the women for their desires and the men for their desires has really been a great step forward, because we really want to tap into the expertise at the top of that next gen group and the expertise that is all around it. But they've had to play catch up, because a lot of the things that they were discussing, we were like, guys, we've been through this 15 years ago. We know how this story ends. And they've let us in there and they've let us lead in those areas. And they've started to really understand how, if they'll get on board for both of the agendas, men and women, they can be highly successful in helping us achieve our differences in our goals and why we have such differences. So for a while, it was pretty frustrating, but now we're starting to see the fruits of the labor and the meetings are changing their tenor. And we're talking a lot about what the women need.
Well done. One of the things I like to do, particularly in such an exciting time right here, is what I call, in case you missed it, and if they hear nothing else, gee, I know you're familiar with it because you've been listening to me do podcasts for a long time. I appreciate you for that, G. And so I'll let you go first. If people hear nothing but what you want to say right now about this new emerging organization that will do so much for the women's college game, what do you want to leave folks with, G? Then we'll go Tom, and we'll end with Lori Walker Hawk.
The big thing is that this is a early doors, and it is an opportunity for our coaches, head coaches, assistant coaches, to really get involved in being the voice of our sport and bringing our ideas to the group, to really kind of brainstorm with each other, to formulate, and then to really be able to step forward with the people who are, you know, in charge of our sport around the world, whether it's U.S. soccer and FIFA, or the NCAA, or sponsors, or television, or whatever it might be. This is the first time that we really, as a coaches group, have all of these things right in front of us. And it's a great opportunity for coaches to get involved, not just as kind of the early founders of this organization, but to really be a worker bee, to get involved and see how big an impact you can make for the game, for your players, and for those players way down the line.
I think the thing that I would say that I don't want anybody to miss is that we are responding to the now's the time. And the timing couldn't be better. Do we wish we'd have started it 10 years ago? Do we wish Lori and, you know, G had this brainchild, you know, 20 years ago, or had the wherewithal to get it done? Then, yeah, of course we do. But no reason to look back. The timing couldn't be better to pull us all under one roof, establish what our priorities are, and get after it. Because of the opportunity that's in front of us with television, with all the big brands that have been mentioned, because of the timing of people interested in the sponsorship aspect and other ways to do our business, this is the time to jump on board. And this is the best time that we've had to set ourselves up for the next 20 years, because it's amazing what women's college soccer has accomplished on its own. I mean, the number of these conversations that used to just be on the sidelines at the old WAGS tournament or the Orange Classic or Surf Cup, now they're going to be had in a boardroom, and there's going to be full-time people. There's going to be marketing agents. There's going to be websites. There's going to be places, a place, not places, a place to come to get the ball rolling with good ideas. And so, yeah, I think everyone should get pretty excited. And if they don't want to get involved, that's fine, because plenty of the best and brightest have already reached out and said, count me in. So I think the timing is great, and we should all look forward to some things moving forward in a manner that of speed and efficiency that we've never seen before.
At the end of the day, I think what sets college women's soccer apart from any other league, you know, certainly here in the United States or around the world, ultimately we're in the business of raising humans. And that's the joy that we all have in what we get to do every day. And we come to campus and the pursuit is both in their academics and in their athletics. And to come to the United States if you're a foreigner and to pursue getting your education as well as playing athletics at the highest level is an entity that deserves its autonomy and needs to maintain the greatness that it's created over the last five decades. And so for me, I'm excited to continue to grow that platform to help bring more eyes to our game and to continue to make it one of the strongest pathways for the best and the brightest to go through and have it all, really. I mean, to be able to be a pro at some point in your life should be at the end of that college experience. For some, they're going to skip college. They're going to go straight to the pros, and that pathway should be there and it should be available. But I think the other piece of this for me that gets me super excited, and Tom has hit on this a lot, our interactions with our peers and the conversations that we've had with other coaches, it's inspiring. Really wonderful people that give to young women every single day of their lives, male and female coaches, that they've made this their lifetime pursuit. I think our platform also helps to develop coaches. I think there's over 3,000 coaches just at the Division I level alone. You know, show me a platform anywhere in the world that is providing that opportunity to develop both coaches and student athletes in the way that college women's soccer is being able to do that. I can't find one. And so for me, it's super exciting. It's an honor to be a part of this. It's an honor to bring life to this organization and to grow the voice and hopefully create something that will be sustainable, you know, for the next generation.
Finally, as people are hearing this right here, right now, is there a place they can go to get more information and, more importantly, get involved?
Yep, we have a website, the IWSOC.org, and we also have two social media platforms with X and with Instagram. Those are the IWSOC. At both of those locations.
G. Guerreri, always great to see you. I definitely want to wish you the best of luck the rest of your season with Texas A&M. Thanks for being with us, G, and thanks for also making sure the association stays involved as well.
Thanks, Dean. This is a passion play playing out for us, so it's something that means a lot, and it's going to mean a lot for a long time.
Lori Walker Hawk, you know how much I admire you. I love you stepping out in this all-important role. Thanks for getting this started.
I really appreciate, Dino, you being the first voice that helps to promote this. And thank you again for all of your support of college women's soccer.
Tom Stone, thank you so much. And good luck for the rest of your Texas Tech season.
Thank you. I'm looking forward to diving into the rest of the year, but also seeing this thing hit lift off and getting everybody on board.
I'm on board. Proud to know that United Soccer Coaches is on board, and hope all of you listening will jump on board. Once again, to learn more, go to www.iwsoc.org.
The Intercollegiate Women's Soccer Organization for Coaches has a focus that together we lead the future of women's college soccer. For more than five decades, women's college soccer has served as the global leader in developing the world's top female under 23 players. This unique platform blends athletic excellence with academic opportunity, something no other league in the world can replicate. Through the university system and the foundation power of Title IX, more than 30,000 female student athletes and 3,000 coaches each year are provided a critical pathway to succeed. Women's college soccer has produced more than 90% of the U.S. women's national team players and remains the primary talent pipeline to the National Women's Soccer League, where nearly every roster features NCAA alumni. The integration of education and athletics not only fuels the next generation of elite players, but also shapes future female leaders who go on to impact sport, business, education, and society at every level. So, who is the IWSOC? Founded in 2025 by college coaches for college coaches, the nonprofit IWSOC is the official voice for women's college soccer coaches in the United States. Our ambition is to provide formalized leadership with structural support to maintain autonomy of the top under 23 women's soccer league in the world. We value our ongoing collaboration with the United Soccer Coaches, who remain vital partners in education, awards, and the annual national convention. Together, we honor tradition while forging a new future.